Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, yo. You that just flipped on this CD player, I just want to inform you that if you got somebody good, you hold on to them.
Okay, y'all there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, cool.
Somebody for me, somebody I could tell the way I feel about you.
All right, what's up, everybody? You're now tuned in to T-Sizzle Radio. I know it's been a minute. Like we said, we're going to come back the next week, and it's been 2 months. Ain't that a shame? But I had a lot of stuff I had to do, a lot of stuff I was going through, so I just couldn't do a show, but I'm back now, and I have my co-host on the line. I have Miss T-Baby, and I have Alex here to co-host with me. Y'all go ahead and say what's up.
Hello, everybody. This is T-Baby. It's good to be back with you guys again. Thank you for listening.
Yes, this is Alex tuned in once again. Wouldn't have it no other way.
I know, right? So tonight's show, we're going to be talking about black businesses and how come we don't support enough black businesses, and how come, besides the support of a black business, how come there's just not enough black businesses, period? So that's basically the topic of tonight's show, because we hear it all the time, you know, support black business, or somebody will open up a mom-and-pop store, and then they'll go under within a few years. So we're just going to discuss that tonight. So, I mean, as far as, like, everything, I feel like there's a lot of different reasons why people don't support black businesses and why some black businesses just don't last long. And I feel like a lot of it is we just don't support each other, period, as a community and as people. I mean, have you guys seen anything like that as far as, like, black businesses, like, in your area when you were growing up? As far as, like, did they survive? Was it always, like, some drama around black businesses? Or do you feel like people just don't really support them as much as they should?
I feel like, you know, black businesses, it depends on who you are in the community. If you're somebody who is really prominent in the community, you've done a lot of things, and you've kind of proven yourself in the community, when you open your business, people will support you, but they're not going to support you right away. First, they're going to try and hate on you a little bit before you really get started. You got to produce results before people jump on your bandwagon. And I feel like in the black community, like, we should probably, you know, we should really try and just support one another, because you took the initiative to kind of spring out on your own and do something different from other people and try to make a better life for yourself. I feel like as a black community, we don't always do that. There's some places where we do, but a lot of places where we don't. We don't support each other enough.
Yeah, and I think that's a big issue, is the support factor. It's like, you know, it's like always some type of hate or jealousy. It don't matter what it is. It's just like, you know what I'm saying, it could be Tyrone's hardware shop. I ain't going over there.
Right.
I'm going to Lowe's. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It could be, you know what I'm saying, Mimi's clothing store, whatever. You're going to go to, you know, to Ed Hardy. So it's just like whatever we have, for whatever reason, we just can't support each other. And I just think it's a shame. I mean, like, what do you think about, like, black businesses right now and as far as, like, the support and stuff, Alex?
Well, I mean, I feel the same way. You know, it's like a lot of us as African Americans, you know, it is a hate factor. You know, you feel like, okay, well, you know, such and such made it, and you may not be where you want to be at in life, so, of course, you're not going to support that person because you're jealous.
Right.
It boils down to jealousy. And then sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, you know, that's why I don't, it's a shame, you know, you can't deal with black people because, you know, a lot of people feel like we're not dependable, or, you know, we're not, you know, a lot of black people feel like other black people aren't trustworthy or whatever the case may be. So I know I hear a lot of people say, you know, as African Americans, see, that's why you can't go, you can't deal with black people, you can't do black people. Like, let's say, you know, you have a black painter or a black carpenter. Oh, why is he, you know, 25 minutes late? If I would have went with the white man, he'd have been here on time. Or, you know,
right.
Why is his job not finished? You know, if I went with
very,
the white man,
true.
It'd have been finished on time. You know, so it's a lot of factors that I feel go into that.
So it's like, it seems like there's a lot of doubt and suspicion right away. As soon as it's like, as soon as you see that name, black owned, it's like just suspicion, like, oh, snap, this black owned, he's about to be late. He about to mess up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always like, we always second guess. But if it's, you know, Tommy whatever, white guy, don't nobody think nothing of it. You know what I'm saying? If it's like a Jewish name, no one ever thinks, oh, this Jewish man will be late. We're automatically so willing to give him our money. And it's not no race thing, so don't go there, people. But I'm just saying, like, why is it that when we see Tyrone's, you know what I'm saying, carpenter business, we second-guess Tyrone, and we second-guess what Tyrone could do. And really, Tyrone could have been in the business 14, 15 years, and we still second-guess him.
I think it's a cultural thing. You know, I think it's a cultural thing because if you look at different cultures like the Hispanic culture, the, like you said, Jewish culture, you know, Korean culture, they are all about each other, totally about each other. If you open a new business, we're trying to do all we can to patronize your business, let our customers know that, no, you need to go to Juan's, you know, Auto Body Shop. You need to go to, you know, whatever the, you know, the person's name is, business. Like, they're very supportive of each other. And it's something about us as a people that we don't support each other, which is not a good thing, especially now in this day and age, in this day and age where we have a black president, where we need to try and support each other more. I think it's getting worse.
Yeah, I believe that too, because, I mean, it's to the point now where, like, I was just saying this to somebody, how come there's, like, in every city, you know what I'm saying, I ain't been to every city, but in most of the cities I've been to, there's a little China, there's a little Mexico, there's a little, you know what I'm saying, like, there's, like, a little Italy, there's a little everything, but there's no little black anything, you feel me?
Right.
So it's like, if I go to, like, if I'm back home in Minneapolis, you have, like, this huge Hmong community or Somalian community.
Yep.
I'm down here in the South.
Yep.
You have, like, the Latinos doing their things and the Asians or whatever. But it's, like, there's no community. There's no little black people. You know what I'm saying? It's, like,
right.
There's no little black community. And I think that's sad because everybody else has somehow mastered, you know what I'm saying, coming together and supporting
exactly.
each other. And one thing
exactly.
that irritates the hell out of me that we don't have and that we don't own is the beauty supply stores. Like, we put more money, you know what I'm saying, into the beauty supply stores, and we don't own names.
Yeah.
The Asians got that on lock. You know what I'm saying?
They
and that's
do.
What irritates me
definitely
because
do.
They don't wear the weave.
We spend
weave.
Our
they
last dollar on a weave. You know, black women spend their last dollar on a weave, on a relaxer, on a shampoo, or whatever it is. As black people, we like looking good. We're not spending no money on vacations. We're spending money on our appearance. Basically.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that's so, I just feel like as a people, we kind of roll in with the culture. We don't really try and actually, you know, we don't try to make the stuff for ourselves. We help other people make a lot of money. Look at Tommy Hilfiger and all of them. He didn't even like black people. And black people
that
are the people who made him a millionaire, billionaire, whatever
mm-hmm.
he is. So it's, I don't know.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, is it like that in VA, Alex? Like, when you was growing up, like, do they have, like, little communities, like, Asian communities?
Yeah.
I ain't never been to Virginia.
It's like that. You know, you go around this corner, and, you know, we used to joke, oh, Lord, we're going into little Mexico. Or, oh, Lord, we're going into little Chinatown. But, yeah, it was never, oh, Lord, we're going into little Africa. It's, oh, Lord, we're going into the hood. Watch out, duck. Might get shot. So, you know, that's how it is in VA. But, you know, I think a lot of it is we as African Americans, we're scared to step out there on faith. You know, we're just scared to step out there and try to make a change. You know, everybody want to talk about it. Don't talk about it, be about it. And then when someone else does it, you know, you want to hate and talk about them and try to bring them down and, you know, do anything that's negative. But why not try to learn from that person and go out there and do it on your own? So, you know, we as a people, we're really confused and we're really lost. And it's a shame that a lot of us are like that, you know. And that's just
how
it
is. It's
like, yeah, it is. And it's not getting any better. It's really getting worse as time goes on.
It is getting worse as time goes on. Go ahead.
It is. Somebody in the chat room, Miss Cell Red, she said, why would I choose some raggedy shop just because it's black on when I can go to a nicer one? And as harsh as that sounds, I see what she's saying, though. And that's what a lot of people, when I first put the question out there, I was getting responses like that, too. And so how much do you think customer service has a role to play with it? Like, let's be honest, when you see, like, the little shops in the hood, like, let's say I'm over in Minneapolis or whatever, like, you know how they have a little mom-and-pop black-owned shop, like, little music record stores and stuff?
Yep.
When you go there, you don't feel safe. Like, you see a bunch of crackheads looting outside, you know what I'm saying, people shooting
knives,
people fighting on the corner. So it's almost like location, location, location.
Yep,
it's key.
It
like,
it
a lot of times people
is.
Don't want to go to the black businesses because they're in the hood. So if I'm like, you know what I'm saying, Miss Tasha living in the suburbs, do I want to drive to the hood to go, you know what I'm saying, to go shopping or go get something, or am I going to just stay where I'm at in the suburbs? So I think a lot of times, too, is I think that that's almost like the feeling is that the customer service is not there. So how much I guess, how much do we blame? How much do we blame on it not being enough black businesses, and how much do we blame on us as a people not, you know, not handling our business and supporting each other, but then how much blame do we put on the black business owners?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, black business owners, you want black business and you want business. I mean, not only black business, but you want business. At the same time, you can't run your shop like a mom-and-pop shop. You may not have enough. I mean, I understand you wanting to be at a nice place, but for anybody who's starting a business, you know, starting a business costs a lot of money. So at the first year or couple of years, it may not be the most beautiful place, but if, you know, you make your customer experience really good, people will come, and then you can upgrade and stuff like that. So I think on the part of the black-owned business, it's all about the customer service. It's all about making your employees feel like they are helping to contribute to make your brand better, and making your customers feel like they are the most important people that walk in the door.
Exactly, and I agree with that. I mean, what do you think about that, Alex? Like, you think, like, when you go to the black businesses, how do you feel about the customer service or just the overall layout in general?
I mean, it really depends on, you know, where you go. Like you said, location is a big key. It really depends on where you go. I know I had a personal experience when I went back home. This was probably about a year ago now. I went back home. When I got home, I had some issues with my car, and I couldn't get to the BMW dealership because I could get to the BMW dealership, but I had to leave out that Monday, and when I got into town that Saturday, I got into town Friday, that Saturday something was going on with my tire, and so I contacted BMW. You know, they couldn't get me in until, like, Tuesday, so they were like, well, we can't have your car back on Monday. Long story short, my cousin knew this guy that works on cars. Okay, African-American gentleman, fine. I'll go to him. Now, did I want him touching my BMW? Not really. But, you know, she spoke very highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Took my wheel off. Oh, told me I needed brake shoes and yada, yada, yada. And then he goes, well, you know, I'm going to get, you know, call me 7 o'clock in the morning, I'll get here. Okay, I call him at 7, no answer. I call him at 7:30, no answer. I call him at 8 o'clock, oh, no answer. I call him at 8:30, no answer. Okay, by this time I said, the hell with you, I'm going to take my car somewhere else. I went on and took my car somewhere else. But then he calls me, and he's like, you know, by this time it's like 9:45. Okay, dude, you said 7 o'clock, what's really going on? You know,
right.
And I try to give him a chance. So it's like, you know, you try to, with some, you know, some of us, you try to give, you know, we try to give each other a chance, but sometimes it's very discouraging, and it's just like, well, hell, I should have went to Bob to begin with, and I wouldn't have went through all this aggravation.
Exactly.
So, you know, I really felt like
it's all about that customer experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, my cousin spoke highly of him. You know, my cousin spoke very highly of him, but then I'm like, okay, consider the source. You're a little hood boogie yourself, so of course you're going to think it's okay. I don't think it's okay for you to call me 2.5 hours later saying, okay, I'm ready. You
like it
didn't
happen.
Exactly. like
crazy,
I don't have
right?
anything to do. Exactly. Like, I don't have anything
true.
To do today. So, you
like
know.
Like, how you doing?
Like,
where your car at? And then when you be like, you take it somewhere else and get mad.
Exactly.
I think the biggest thing that, I mean, like, you know, minority business owners, I'm not even going to just peg it on black owners, but I think the biggest thing with us as a minority business is just that, like, we just expect that, you know, you guys understand what we're going through. No, just like you're busy, I'm busy. You know what I mean? It's all about how you made me feel. Did you do what you had to do? Like, you might be the best mechanic in the world, but if you can never keep to the time that you customers, nobody's going to sit there and want to come to you because we know you always going to be late. I can't
exactly.
mess with you if I have to be at work.
Exactly. And that's the truth.
You know,
they're also saying in the chat room, For La Soul says that black businesses are not clean, they're rude and unprofessional as well. And, I mean, that's not all. You can't just say black businesses. I mean, that's some, because there's some that are nice. But it's true, though. It's like most of my experiences, just to be real with y'all, 100 with most black businesses, have been more or less negative. I mean, somebody else in the chat room just said that when she walks into a store, she hears what you want instead of how may I help you. And unfortunately, a lot of us, we want the money, but we don't want to do the work. And when it comes to owning a business and you being a business-minded person, it's a two-way street. You want my money, but you don't want to treat me with the same level of respect. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that turns a lot of people off. And I know the last time I went to a black business, I went to a restaurant. And let me tell you, I was so frustrated because it's like, you know, usually I don't eat soul food like that, none of that stuff. I ain't grow up on that. But I went on lunch break to a little country black-owned restaurant, and I had been there one other time, and the food was pretty good, so we decided to go again. And now the whole time this lady sees me looking at the lunch menu, and I'm steadily sitting here like, okay, cool, okay, there's a meal right here about $5. You know, no more. I didn't want to spend, like, you know, no more than $5 or $6 to eat. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted two chicken. It was like chicken breast and a thigh, whatever. Like, it was grilled, and then you had your two sides, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. So, and she sees that I read it off of this particular section of the menu that said lunch, right? And then she asked me, she said, do you want white or dark? Me personally, I don't care as long as it's under damn $6. You feel me? So I was like, you know, white. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't really care either way. So then she brings me my food, right? So I'm eating. The food's good. All of a sudden I get my bill. My bill was $8.99. Well, hold up. Is it dinner time? Did, you know what I'm saying? I've only been here 20 minutes. Did all of a sudden, did it go from lunch to dinner? How did the prices jump up $3? Oh, well, you said that you wanted white meat, and white meat is more. No, I would have known the difference. You asked me what did I want, and I said white. You never said, okay, well, white is $3 more. Dark is this, because I'd have just been like, okay, well, let me stick with the dark meat, whichever is cheaper. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that slick stuff I hate. Like that, like it irked me, and I told her, I said, that was really foul. Most people, when you know it's your mistake, they'd have been like, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry, it was just a misunderstanding. We'll go ahead and charge you $5. Hell no, she wanted her $8 and a tip. She ain't getting no tip from me that day. I paid my little money, and I said, I'll never come back here, because don't be trying to switch stuff up just so you can get extra money. So now you lost the customer. That really hurt me, because she's saying I was looking for the lunch menu. I wanted the lunch special. And then you basically, because you're saying I was getting a cheaper meal, try to play me and switch it up and then turn around and charge me for white meat. First of all, what is the difference? It's still a chicken, right? Like, why? Like, I didn't know. Like, if I go to KFC, they don't charge me more for white or dark meat. So it's just like little stuff like that. That you know, that irks people when it comes to, like, black businesses, I can see. But, you know, I haven't been there since. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I would still support black businesses. I just wouldn't go back to that one. And I don't care who owned it. I don't care if it was some white people. If you try to play me when it comes to my money, I'm not going to support your business. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, I thought that was
right. Yeah, but, you know, like I said, it depends on the person. Because I know for a fact there's a restaurant that just opened up. Not long ago, is black owned. The guy started out in the Family Dollar parking lot. You know, he has a he's seafood and stuff. That's his business. You know, he started out with a little cart in the Family Dollar parking lot, and now he's opened his establishment. And yes, I'm going to put it out there, give him a shout out. It's called Sea Hut. It's over on Franklin Street out here in Monroe, North Carolina. He has the best food. He has the best customer service. He makes sure you're happy. I went in there not long ago, and I did not like the taste of his deviled crab. It just tastes very fishy to me. Now, you know, Sope, I'm very, very picky. And I'm like, you know, I can't eat this. You know, it just tastes fishy. He's like, okay, well, you know, no problem. I'm sorry. No problem. What do you want? You know, what else would you like? You know, and he gave me scallops in place of that, which cost more than what I had paid for. He's like, no, you don't have to give me any extra money. I mean, his customer service is excellent. You know, I recommend him to anybody. Not only is the food good, but the customer service is great. The atmosphere is great. You know, it's clean. The bathrooms are clean. I mean, his establishment is just overall, I give it an A+. You know, so that's why
that's how it should be.
It's not all of us. You know, it's not all of us
exactly.
As people, because some of us know how to get in business, we know how to run business, and we know how to keep business. And then you just have some people that just don't, whether you white, black, blue, purple, green, brown, whatever. You know, a person is a person, so it really doesn't matter, because you can go to Joe Smo's, or you can go to, you know, China City, you know, buffet and get some horrible customer service. So It really depends on the person, I feel. It's not always black, you know. That's not always the issue.
And that's true, too. I mean, but it just seems like, unfortunately, a lot of people equate black and bad customer service together, or black business,
yeah.
And, you know, it's like anything black is always looked at in the negative. I don't give a dang what it is. But, it's, you know, and that's the unfortunate part, because there are a lot of really good, you know, businesses out here, but it's not enough. You know what I'm saying? And it's like the few black businesses we have, it's like they need to tighten up on their employees. But that's cool. If he was a good businessman like that and he helped you with good customer service, then that's what's up. We need more of that. We need more people like that. Because, unfortunately, we get more of the other type. And I don't care who it is. You know what I'm saying? I've been to Chinese restaurants, and they've looked at me like I wasn't shit, and I walked right back out the door. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving you my money, and you sitting here looking at me sideways. I ain't going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like,
very true.
It don't matter. Yeah, you know, like, you know, sometimes you walk in, they be whispering and looking at you crazy. How can I help you? No, you can't help me. You can go right back in that kitchen. Bye. I'll walk right out because it's how you come off. You know, I'm not about to give you my money, and you sit here with a sour face, and you hunched over, you mad, don't want to be there. Uh-uh. Deuces. That's for
very,
anybody.
Very
I don't care if it's McDonald's, Taco Bell.
I work for a big corporation, and that's one of the big things that we even look at is just like what – it's not even so much about how much merchandise can we push out the door. It's more so about what is the customer experience about, because if customers never come back in the door again – you know, then we can't make no money. So the big thing for us is just, like, how are we making your experience good? What are we doing to make you want to come back again? What are we doing to make you want to feel like you are the most important customer that walks in the door? I think that a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, black businesses, Latino, Korean, whatever it is, you just have to think with that lens cap, like, you need to make your customer feel like they're the most important person that walked in that door. That's how we got to start thinking as entrepreneurs and things like that. We just got to think that we are the most important people, because if we just think that, oh, you're going to come in here because this is Tyrone or Juan or whoever's shop, no. If you do good work and you treat me like I'm important to you, then I'm going to come back. But if you don't, then what are we talking about?
Exactly. But one thing people tend to forget, and this plays a very big part and can make or break you, word of mouth is everything. Whether it's a good word can take you a long way, and a bad word can take you even farther. So that's what a lot of people need to realize, that word of mouth means a lot.
Yep.
You know, because if you go somewhere and you have a horrible experience, oh, I know me for a fact, I can't speak for nobody else, I'm going to talk about it till the day I probably die. As soon as something triggers in my mind, let me tell you about this horrible experience I had at such and such and such and such. And I'm going to do the same thing if I had a great experience. So word of mouth really goes far, especially in, you know, the business world.
That is so true. And then now let me ask y'all, what do y'all think about the advertising? Because that was one of the comments I had gotten on Facebook from somebody, is that as black businesses, we don't really know too much about advertising and networking unless it's like a club. Like, if it's a club, you see flyers all over your car when you come out of work, when you come out the store. But when it's for, like, a typical business, like, let's say, you know, clothing, hardware, you know, just, like, typical products, there's not enough advertising out there. Do y'all think about that?
I think that one thing that, you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners, small minority business owners should always know is just that, you know, I don't know who all is a fan of Diddy or not, but he does have a quote that I believe in. It's not, he says that his network is how he got his net worth. And I feel like that's something that is really true. It's all about how you market yourself to other people. You get one friend who's a believer in you, what are they going to do? They're going to tell two of their friends. Who's going to tell three of their friends? Who's going to tell four of their friends? I think the biggest thing that we rely on is just that, you know what, I got the building space, I got the advertising in the newspaper, and now you should just come shop my store. No. You got to advertise. You got to network. You got to leverage all these people to help make it work. Like, you know, we look at, you know, white America and say, like, oh, you know, because I'm not white, I don't get this and I don't get that. But they know how to work it. There is a such thing as the good old boys club where people, you know, they do a lot of their business on the golf course. And it's not even because you might even be good. It's because, you know, my cousin knows you, and they said that you're good, so I'm going to start endorsing you. That's how it goes.
Exactly. I think
we just need to start. We need to be able to build our own good old boys club, our own network, so that we can start to get some of the dollars that, you know, the Jewish and, the, you know, the Hispanic, the white people, the whoever people get. We just have to build that within each other. And I think the biggest thing with black folks is that we just don't know our own strength. Look at the couple of entrepreneurs that we have that are straight up moguls in different kinds of spaces, and not because they're actually good, more so because they just have the right people behind them to back them. That's it.
Exactly. Let me take this call. I got a caller calling in that wants to speak. Area code 225. 225, you're on the air.
Yes. I wonder why don't we support our own businesses?
Who is this?
Like with the hair, why never see, like, black business? Like, you know, let's say a hair and stuff. It always goes, like, to the Koreans.
Oh yeah, with the hair, you're definitely right about that. And that's what I was saying earlier that irritates me is the fact that we don't. You know, we don't have our own hair salons. Not hair
yeah,
salons,
we don't
but, like,
control
beauty
nothing.
Supply stores. Mm-hmm. And we need to.
Everybody else, we being consumers, not producers.
You're right about that. So what do you think is the biggest hindrance? You know, like, why are we being consumers? Like, do you feel like we're just not supporting each other? Do you feel like it's the, you know, some people are saying it's the customer service, it's the attitude, but I think it's a lot more to it than that. Like, what do you think?
I think it's like, you know, the banks. And, you know, we got to, you know, get a loan to start a business, you know.
Mhm. And a lot of banks don't really want to loan money.
Yeah, loan money, especially for, like, if you like a person of color.
Mhm. You are definitely right about that, and I mean it is. It's like a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
and
a little bit. We don't control nothing. You know, we don't control the money. We don't control, you know, the trade. We don't control nothing.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that we do control is the buying power.
Yeah, that's the only thing that we have control of.
Because, I mean, if you look at the buying power of just, you know, any demographic, let's talk about African-Americans. African-Americans by, you know, in this year projected, it just is $1.3 trillion because we spend money on good things. We really, really do. So I think the thing that we need to think about as a consumer is where our dollars go. Even if you are spending $10, think about the 10 million people who are spending the same $10 you spend in. That's the way we need to start thinking. You know, you just don't have to, you don't go, you know, don't go through your purchases thinking that, oh, I'm only spending $10, that my $10 doesn't count. Your $10 definitely counts.
It really does.
For sure. And it's just a matter of where you sit and you put your $10. Are you going to put it into, you know, a business that, you know, doesn't really care if you want it there or not?
Community.
Exactly. Give back to the community. Start putting your dollars in the community.
Especially like the Chinese and the Koreans, the Asians. They just come to the neighborhood but don't give back.
Yeah. No, everything stays in their own community, and that's
just
the thing. They're able to, even if they don't like each other, you know, everybody has conflict, so even if they don't like each other, at the end of the day, they're Asian, they're going to hang tight, they're going to look out for each other, they're going to hire their own. You know, I've never been to a Korean store and seen a black man behind the counter, like, how can I help
you? Me neither, me neither.
I was Korean, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they only hire their own. And it's like, if they can do it, why can't we? Now, somebody in the chat room is saying, Bell Red is showing out. Bell Red says that This one black-owned beauty supply store in her hood is overpriced and it's unorganized. She said she has no problem driving 15 minutes away to go spend money with the Korean beauty supplies. And a lot of people think that. So, again, it's presentation. You know, as she said, it's disorganized. So, again, it's how you carry your business. I feel like your business is a reflection of you, just like
it
your
really
home.
Does.
If you come to my home and my home looks a mess, and I'm, you know, I'm laying on the couch and I have an attitude, toys everywhere, it's nasty in here. So how am I going to expect for you to feel comfortable and want to chill in my house and come back and visit again? You get what I'm saying?
That's true. And people are going to say, oh, they have an attitude, don't come, go there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know where I'm from. You know, in Virginia, we have this mall called Military Circle Mall. And there is a hair store in there that is black owned. And I went in there one day just to, you know, go in there to kill some time. I went in there to purchase some lip gloss. So mm-hmm. the whole time that I'm standing at the counter, I'm waiting for this chick to ring me up. She's on the phone talking about what she did at the club last night, who slept with who last night. I can't believe she went home with him last night. Girl, you going to the club tonight? You got your outfit together, girl? Yeah, girl. I'm just, and I'm standing there looking at this chick like, am I invisible? Do you not see me? Like, it took her, like, a good 3 minutes to even acknowledge me. She never spoke, how you doing, kiss my ass, nothing. She's on the phone the whole time, and I'm just sitting here like, wow.
Like you bothering her. Like you bothering her.
You know, yeah, and I'm just sitting here like, wow, I will never come here again. And I just went in there for some freaking lip gloss. So it's like, you know, it's, I don't know. You know, it's like when you walk into the average hair store, you know, with the Koreans or whatever, as soon as you walk in, hi, how are you? You know, anything I can help you with?
Even if
you
they
know,
don't
what
mean
do you
it.
Need?
Yeah,
exactly.
They don't talk. Even if they don't mean
exactly.
it, they're going to force it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Now, let me ask y'all this. Now, we're going to talk about this because people never talk about this. And you know, we've all been guilty of this, the hookup.
Yeah.
How many black folks want the hookup? I think that's a big issue, too, for a lot of black businesses, is that, okay, we go in there, but then because you see a black face, hey, you think I get 10% off? Why?
Yeah.
You don't ask the Koreans for 10% off? We got that bad. We got that real bad.
We really do. Especially if
we got
like,
that
oh,
bad.
We do. Everybody, all black folks, honestly, we are all about the free 99. If Craig and them work up there, your cousin and them work up there and can get you the discount, please.
Girl, yes, you're going to go to your cousin's
you're
register just because you know that you're going to get 10% off. I mean, it's crazy, and I think that's what hurts a lot of black businesses, too, is that people, you know, automatically, because when you see a black face, it's like, you know, or that camaraderie or whatever, so you automatically, okay, he's going to hook me up, he's going to. But that's not like that. I mean, you could be at Taco Bell. Hey, can I get some sour cream?
Yeah.
10 cents. 10 cents. Bro, hook me up.
It doesn't even matter what it is. It doesn't
what
matter
it
if it's free French fries. If you work at Subway, can I get an extra piece of meat? What?
Can
that
I get a cookie?
That is what we are all about.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hey, you mind
can
if I steal these baby chips?
Exactly.
I think somebody asked that one time, girl. We was at Subway, and the dude was like, hey, you mind if I could just get these chips right here? Because it was a black girl behind the register. Like, you wouldn't do that if that was a white girl behind the register. Like, why are you going to steal their chips? And then the black girl going to get in trouble because they're going to automatically think that y'all are in cahoots for stealing chips.
Exactly.
And she just looked at him like, no, you got to pay for that. And he got mad, like, oh, I got to pay? Oh, I got to put. Dude, it's 50 cents. If you can't afford the chips, get the hell up out the store. You know, it's crazy. It's like, and I think a lot of us, we take advantage of that hookup. And that is what hurts a lot of businesses. We got some more callers calling in. We got some people ear hustling. I see you. And we got a lot of people in the chat room right now, too. So let me go ahead and let in area code 646. 646, you're on the line. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
What's going on? This is
I'm
Tara.
Doing good.
Yeah. Okay, I have, like, just a little quick comment about the reason I believe that we don't support our own businesses. It's really not, I wouldn't say it has anything to do with, you know, black businesses have to be ghetto or they're rude or they're dirty or anything like that because I done been to Korean stores, white stores that's been equally as rude. And we have what you call that barrier that we put up because so many people are against black-owned businesses, number one. And even in the communities, like in Harlem, they're trying to gentrify our area and take away those businesses. So not only do we have to increase increase the prices on things because they're trying to take over our businesses, but we also have to put up that protective barrier because so many people are against us, not only our own race, but other races.
Mm,
and I
yep.
know, I've experienced that for a fact, being I'm Spanish and African American. So
mm-hmm.
they, you know, we already have that statistic. And it comes from like a history. It's a mental thing. It's a history that we done endured way before we were born. And, you know, it's just like a generational curse. So
mm.
it's like, you know, we're trying to, I guess, you know, it's not even that. It's we're not properly educated also on how to, you know, once they hire us, you know, they hire us, stick us out instead of properly, you know, training us. And, you know, this is how you do customer service. This is how, you know, you smile when somebody walk in, you greet them and you ask them if they need any help. And then
mm-hmm.
even if we did greet them and ask them any help, the patrons, you know, get cold defensive, you know, well, I'm okay, I'm just looking, you know. So it's just like, you know, a battle against each other. We really just really need to just unite, and I believe we need to support our own businesses, number one,
mm-hmm.
because Mayor Bloomberg, you know, trying to take that away from us. I'm not trying to get into no political debate or anything like that. But it's just that, you know, and then quit being so offensive because you know for a fact if I was going to a hair store, a black store-owned shop and a Korean-owned shop hair store, which one I'm going to go to? We all know that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all like a generational curse from, you know, well, the black owned don't know, you know, they might sell the same products as we do, but we just don't know. We don't know. It's just like we're not educated and we're not being taught self, you know, righteous about ourselves. We so self-hated against each other.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. It's very sad. And, you know, it just, you know, I just hope that we, in the future, can learn to come together and agree because we have so much envy in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like from light skin versus dark skin. You know, and it just has to do with slavery and generational curses that follow us, you know, throughout the years. And we have to break that cycle and that barrier first.
Yeah, it's sad because you have people who say, you know, I won't go to that person, I won't shop there, you know, because maybe it's a light-skinned man who owns it and he thinks he's uppity. Or, okay, the guy's dark-skinned, he owns it, well, he got to be a thief. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we are our own worst critics. You know what I'm saying? We'll see stuff
exactly.
at face value and judge people, you know. So it's almost like we don't even have to have any outsiders do it. We look at each other as being shifty. Like we were saying at the beginning of the conversation, you know, you automatically think black business probably don't open till noon. They're going to have an attitude. They're going to be late. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like all of this stuff, you know, granted, some people do feed into that stereotype, but not all black businesses are like that. So I guess we have to start changing
That's
our mentality
cool.
and stop going into
we
these
do.
Businesses with already a negative cloud.
Exactly.
Very,
we just
very
need to
true.
Just educate ourselves because even I know growing up in Harlem, you know, like I was looking at the comments that like customer service is common sense. It is not. It's like, you know, some people are raised a certain way. So they have to come in and teach us to, you know, to properly, you know, to treat other people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like especially, you know, if you raised in a household that say, you know, whites are bad, whites are the devil, whites, you know, white, whatever, you know, that's what you know. until somebody comes teach you, you know, oh, well, white people can be good, you know. And bad people aren't all racist. It's not, you know, it's not kindergarten wisdom. It's just the fact that we need to be educated, and also in our communities, because they're not, you know, educating ourselves. You know, they need to have more program, business programs for the youth and for, you know, the young adults out here who's trying to step their game up, basically. And trying to get these businesses, but they don't even want us with the businesses. They don't want us, period. You look at Harlem, they're trying to take over the businesses now.
Yeah, I heard
you
they're getting rid of so much in
they,
Harlem.
They're getting rid of, yes, they're gentrifying.
Yeah.
They're trying to kick us out, and they try to put us off somewhere and where, you know, they know they were already say we angry against the world anyway. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, turn us against each other, and they don't want us here from, you know, something that we built. But they don't want us here, and they're trying to take, you know, and then that there creates hatred itself.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's just.
Yeah,
because
if you're the only guy on the block with the shop and I can't get one for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to support you. So, yeah, it is. It's very, very sad. We have a few more calls. Callers on the line.
Okay,
everybody raising their hand. I love that.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate you calling into the show.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good night. Okay, we're going to go to, let me see here, area code 443. He's been holding for a while. 443, you're on the air.
What's up, lovely child? It's your brother, Soul in Black. How you doing, sis?
Hey, bruh, how you doing? I'm good.
Hey.
How about you?
I'm good.
It's been a minute. You miss me?
Yes, ma'am.
So what you thinking about the show?
Huh?
I said, what you thinking about the show and black businesses and stuff?
Oh, I love the show, and I'm glad we're talking about it. I mean, I hear a lot of things that people are talking about, but I'm like, my thing is, like, when are we going to say, we know that there's discrimination, we know that Asians or whatever, the Hispanics are taking money out of the community, we know that we have problems with the banks, so my question is, when are we going to make the decision to say, hey, we need to start developing our own lending system to our own people, build our own businesses up together, and start supporting them, because if you have... See, I think one of the problems is with a lot of our businesses is that we don't have no dog in the fight. At least we don't think so. So if we start to invest into our own businesses, then we get a dog in the fight. So we want to make sure that they're going to give us good customer service. We're going to make sure that they're taking care of what needs to be taken care of so we can expand and grow. But it seems like it seems to be a hard thing to get people to donate and put money together to establish and lift up the businesses. Knowing that we got a hard time to go deal with the banks, we don't need to go to the banks. We need to go to ourselves because we have no problem spending it, so why don't we invest it? Because we're good at it.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're quick to go, you know, shop and buy rims and, you know what I'm saying, the latest pair of Jordans and everything else, but we don't own anything. You know, we just keep putting money in other people's pockets, and that's so true. Why can't we have our own bank? And, you know, what's so unfortunate is that, like, I guess that's what disappointed me so much with Bob Johnson when he sold BET, because it's like, you know, he built that from the ground up, and it's just like, it seems like once we get to a certain level, we just sell it off, you know, and then it's like somebody else ends up on it. Just like a lot of the black hair care products, people don't realize, they're not owned by black companies anymore. Maybe in the 60s and 70s, but once like the 80s and 90s hit, all those, you know, the Afro Sheen and the black power sticks that you see on the grease bottle, that's owned by white companies like L'Oreal and whatever else. So it's like once we get to a certain level, we sell our stuff off. The only black-owned hair company in the country is Dudley in North Carolina. That's the only one. Everybody else sold off to Revlon and whoever else. So how do we, you know, how do we, instead of selling our stuff off, turn around and help another person, help another business come up? I think we need to have that mentality as well. You know, each one teach one. We don't like doing that.
Well, see, this is the thing that I encountered, okay, and I'll tell you this. I ran into this old brother who has some properties that I got. He gave them to me. He wanted to give them to his family, but his family wouldn't upkeep with it. You know what I mean? They wouldn't take care of it and run it, so he gave it to me. And I'm, you know, I'm glad he gave it to me. I'm a black man. I'm glad he gave it to me. But the thing about it is, a lot of these businesses, I know some of the family owned mom and pop business that grew up and they want to pass it on. And then there's a lot of people who don't want to, they don't want to receive it. As soon as the business is given to them, they want to sell it to get money. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute. Why don't you guys hold it, build the money, establish and keep the tradition going? I mean, it's hard to find a tradition of black business anymore. That's hard to find. We used to have them. You know, the Bob Johnson, I'm mad about him too because I can't believe him. He sold it. You mean to tell me he couldn't give it to Bill Cosby or Magic Johnson or somebody? I mean, it didn't even get passed on to none of us. It went to friggin' Viacom.
Viacom, and now it's just a bunch of BS that's being filtered into the community because now they don't talk about businesses and black pride on BET anymore. Now it's just a bunch of crap on BET. But unfortunately, it still has that name, Black Entertainment Television, attached to it. So now the only thing that we have to look forward to is booty shaking videos and 106 in Park, where, like, you know, when we were growing up, you had Teen Summit and a bunch of really good shows, you know, BET Nightly News.
Yep.
There's none of them anymore.
Yeah, see, I don't even watch BET. See, I stopped supporting it. But Bob Johnson left, I stopped watching it. Because I was like, what's the point? I'm not supporting a black business anymore because it ain't a black business no more. So I'm just kind of like, you know, when are we going to say, hey, you know what? We got to get serious about it. I don't think it's serious enough to us yet. We ain't hurting enough. That's what somebody told me. He said, we ain't hurting enough. We need to hurt more. Because
you think so?
I mean, because nobody's going to do nothing until we hurt more, until we in more pain. Like, I mean, I don't know how much more pain we want to take because it takes us saying, look, the Koreans came here, they established businesses. The Asians came, I mean, the Latinos came here, they established businesses. They're doing what they're doing. It is our fault because we're not doing it. It's our fault.
Yeah.
We can't blame anybody else. It's our fault because we had it. We had it in the 60s, like you said. We had it in the 70s. Started to die off in the 80s and the 90s, just pretty much fell out the door. So it's just like, now we're in 2000, we pretty much don't have nothing. We don't have no radio shows, no television shows, all that stuff gone.
Yeah, you're right. It's sad. And we have a few more callers on the line, too, so I'm going to go ahead. 843, if you want to call back, you can call back in. I'm going to go ahead. Huh?
I'm just listening.
Okay. That's cool. I'm going to go ahead and let an area code 773. Don't you show out, 773. What's up for Lost Souls?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah, how you doing? How y'all
I'm
doing?
I'm doing good. You miss me?
Of course. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I was waiting for you to come
Thank
back,
you.
Too. But I'm going to keep this. I miss you so much. And this show is a masterpiece, too, what you're doing tonight. If, you know, any black people who got businesses already that's not thriving or any black people who want to start a business in the future, they need to listen to this masterpiece, this jewel of wisdom you got right here tonight. And that way they, you know, the skies will be the limit for them, financially speaking, if they listen to everything that's been said so far. But I'm going to say this and end it. We got to do better, you know, black entrepreneurs and whatnot, you know, and people who want to, you know, own businesses, you know, as black people. We got to get rid of the negative stereotypes out in the open, publicly, you know, and the only way to do that is to do the extreme opposite of all of the negative stereotypes that the whole wide world and all the other races know that we are guilty of. As soon as we practice that wisdom, then we'll be all right. And I'll say this, too, before I go. It's a few black businesses I would, you know, definitely still support personally. I've seen, like, one or two on Channel 11, this restaurant show called Check Please, where the African people that look like us, they own professional, really good restaurants and whatnot at affordable prices, real clean. Nice attitude, professional, you know, professionalism, you know, what I've seen on TV and whatnot. And all the other races that don't have that professionalism got to follow suit immediately or they're going to sink like the Titanic. So I'm going back.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go get offline now. go back to the chat room.
So what do you think? Let me ask you for last off. What do you think about people wanting to hook up on everything? You think we need to stop that as well?
Yeah. Yeah, that's selfishness right there. You know, the selfishness has to stop. Not only the bad attitudes and unprofessionalism of the business owners and the employees, but the customers that come in there, you know, that's greedy and selfish and tight with their money. You know, that all of that has to stop. We got to do the extreme opposite of what our reputation is as business owners and consumers.
Yeah, because when you guys think about it, the black business owners, a lot of times they don't like to see a black face. Let's be real, because they're automatically thinking the same thing we're thinking when we go into a black business. So it's like this level of distrust on both ends. You guys get what I'm saying? It's like both ends, like, distrust each other, and that's sad because the black business owner is thinking, watch her buy a dollar worth of something. You know what I'm saying? But if this white guy comes in here, he's probably going to spend $30-$40. Whereas she may be coming in there to buy, you know, the whole store, but you're already assuming that she's not because she's black. Or you're assuming that because you're going to a black business, you're going to have customer service. So you're definitely right. We definitely have to change the mentality. We have to start thinking in a positive mind frame and stop looking for the negative in everything and stop hating on those who look just like us. It doesn't matter if somebody's light skin, dark skin. At the end of the day, you're still black. So you can't, you know, we need to stop. It's like there's so much self-hate. Like, we hate to support each other. And that's the part that frustrates me, because I really feel like the black, like, black people really could own their own, you know what I'm saying, beauty supply stores. As much money as we put into the beauty supply market, it's a shame that we don't own any of them at all.
We got to go from being the hoes to the CEOs of this money that we're generating, that we're spending and throwing away. Over $9 billion, they say, on unnecessary hair care products alone.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't even counting all the other billions and trillions that we're wasting on stuff that we don't need.
You're right about that. You are definitely right. We're going to be getting ready to wrap up the show here. We got about 3 minutes left. It's 10:56. I'm glad to be back. I enjoyed the show. I want to thank everybody who came into the chat room, and I want to thank everyone who called in. You know, I'm back. I'm going to start. I know I said that 2 months ago, but I'm back. I'm going to be coming back once a week. I love Blog Talk Radio, and I miss my Blog Talk Radio family. So we're going to come with some more topics. We're going to keep doing shows Thursday at 10 o'clock. So I'm really glad everybody came through to show me some support. I really appreciate that. So the same way y'all supported me, we need to start supporting more black businesses. And if you are a black business owner, you know, you need to take your business personally. Your business should equate your home. I shouldn't walk into your business and there's babies running around in Pampers. You know, like, your business should be your home. It should be clean and tidy, and there should be customer service. And on the same hand, we need to stop thinking we can go into somebody's place of business or their home and think we can just get the hook up on something, or just think we can just take what we want or expect to pay half price because that person looks like us. So I think we both, on both ends, as a consumer and as a business provider, we need to, all of us, we need to look at ourselves internally, you get what I'm saying, and make some self-evaluations and think about what we're doing and what type of image that we're projecting out there.
Yeah, customer service, good customer service is key.
Exactly.
Definitely
exactly.
Need it. Can't forget that part. You know, the employees got to be on point too, no doubt.
Exactly. So did you guys have any last words, my two co-hosts, T-Baby and Alex? Oh, I don't know if they're still on the line or not. Oh, you know what?
Alex, I'm still here. I mean, I pretty much agree with everything. You know, we just need to, once again, learn how to support each other, stop doubting ourselves, you know, get out there and, you know, just, you know, do what we got to do and just stop, mainly just stop doubting what we can and cannot do. And that's like
exactly
the thing. We doubt ourselves too much. You know, step out there, you know, on faith and, you know, just do what you got to do. But we're so scared, and we're so scared of what people think. We're scared of failure. That's bottom line. But, hell, This is like when you know you're a toddler, you fall, you get back up and try again. But
exactly.
A lot of us get discouraged and we stay the hell with it and we don't want to go no farther. But sometimes you got to be knocked down to be able to get back up. Then when you get back up, just get back up with full force and keep it moving.
Exactly. And on that note, we got about 28 seconds left. Thank you, everyone who came through. Thank you to everyone who called. I'm Fat Baby. Deuces. Talk to y'all later.
Good night.
Good night.
Sweet dreams.